Well, look, the agriculture sector is the most exposed to the UK market, and for that reason we're watching, I suppose, every movement on this debate. I don't want to comment on the hoof here now, because literally as I was on the road down, the UK government published a proposal. Suffice to say, our position hasn't changed. You know, whether you call it a protocol or a backstop, what effectively we want is no hard border on the island of Ireland. And every publication and utterance by the UK government will be measured against that. And indeed, their own utterances that unless and until something better comes along, you know, there can be no withdrawal agreement without honouring that commitment. So, I mean, that's the backdrop. Our position hasn't changed. And we will assess the publication today against that objective. That being said, we want the closest possible relationship with the UK in the future. I mean, 40% of our agri-food exports. You take companies like Arriva here in the northwest. All the agri-food companies have a very significant exposure into the UK market. So we're very anxious to protect that in the context of the overall agreement. But above and beyond the economics of it, the peace process, the Good Friday Agreement, the no hard border, is a fundamental requirement for us. I'm on the record myself as saying, look, there's no upside for Brexit, and certainly not for the agri-food sector, but I don't want to comment definitively now at 4:30 on a publication that has come out since I started my journey down from Dublin, so I haven't seen the detail of it.
Another story that's in the news today followed an RTE Investigates programme recently about audiology services. It just highlighted really another issue in the HSE, and I know the Taoiseach has called for reform of the HSE. What kind of progress is the government making on those plans?
Well, look, what we are doing is making amends for you know, years of underinvestment in the health service arising from the economic crash that, you know, the last Fine Gael Labour government had to, you know, rebuild the public finances. We're in a position now on the basis of continued prudent management of those public finances to be able to rebuild frontline services. And in fact, I've seen figures recently that show, you know, a significant increase in the number of frontline staff being recruited for the HSE. So whether it's nurses or whether it's audiology services or any other of the frontline services where staff are needed, we would hope over a period of time to be able to rebuild those services where they have been, you know, suffering as a result of inadequate funding for those years of the economic crash. Can't happen overnight. One of the big challenges that the HSE faces, and the HSE has its critics, and understandably so in some respects, well, one of the biggest challenges that the HSE faces is in recruitment of staff. We're offering, for example, this year, a position to every trained nurse that graduates in the Republic of Ireland this year will be offered a position with the HSE. That's unprecedented. But in the area of recruitment of other specialist staff, there is a difficulty. In some respects, there's a global shortage of trained medical staff in some disciplines. So we're facing that challenge as well.
On the farming issues, I know that it's likely to come up a lot of sheep farmers in this area, but the electronic tagging scheme is still causing a lot of controversy. I know many of the organisations have been in contact with you about that. They say you introduced it at a particularly bad time for them.
Well, look, the truth is, I suppose, that the status quo is always the preferred option, and change is never really welcomed. But I'm faced with a situation where it's abundantly clear that our current system of traceability for sheep is not adequate. And in the context of traceability and in the context of market access, you know, and I've come across this directly in negotiations in terms of opening up new markets, where that's becoming an impediment now. So our current system isn't fit for purpose. I mean, the current system is accompanied with a 40-plus page booklet of how to operate a simple tagging system. It's, you know, it is due for change, and we are going to proceed with that change. I've had engagement with the INHFA on this issue in recent weeks, positive engagement, and I'm sure that we can work out the detail.
On the fishing, I know the penalty point system that the government was trying to push through was shot down in the Dáil last week. You called them irresponsible, I think, or reckless. But is there progress to... They say they weren't consulted on it, though, a lot of the organisations. What is the next step?
Well, there has been extensive consultations both with the industry and at a political level. And what bothers me is how the will of the Dáil can be galvanised to oppose legislation which is targeted at people who commit serious offences in breach of the common fisheries policy. Not just targeted at Irish fishermen, but also at every other person who's bound by the rules of the common fisheries policy. So this is applicable to all international boats in our waters who commit serious offences. You know, this isn't for routine minor offences, it's for serious offences. And how the will of the Dáil can be galvanised to serve the few who undermine the long-term interests and sustainability of the majority in the Irish fishing industry, you know, bothers me somewhat. We've had extensive consultation, and we will continue with that consultation. I'm engaging with the Attorney General's office on these issues currently. But bear in mind, there are consequences for this. We have funding that's approved from Europe on the fishery side, and that has been withheld from us now. So it's not an action without consequences. And, you know, if those consequences escalate, those who have voted against this, you know, will bear the brunt of it. I mean, there's significant investment in that space coming from Europe.
And Joey Murren, the former founder of the and CEO of the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation, passed away in recent days. I've read a lot about him. I know he was controversially always spoke his mind. Many politicians, they said, were sometimes afraid of him, but he's definitely a loss to the fishing community.
Well, yeah, look, I grew up, I suppose, listening to the voice of Joey Murren, which I think every household, whether you were in the Midlands or in the coastal regions, recognised that unique and distinctive voice for the Irish fishing industry. And to his family, my sincere sympathies. Unfortunately, I was out of the country and wasn't able to attend the funeral services. But he was, you know, a fearless champion of the fishing industry and somebody who, you know, was around at the early stages of our entry into the European Union, the EEC as it was back in 1973, and did extraordinary service for that industry.